Hello, listeners, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 2 of the Startup Capital Podcast by Cuddlesoft. This is your Season 3 host, Alyssa McShane. For this episode, we spoke to Nick Telford and Michael Braccialli, the founders of Fly Mouthwash. Fly Mouthwash is a Tallahassee startup that invented a concentrated form of mouthwash for freshness on the go. The duo made waves last year by securing a $100,000 investment from an angel investor, and their product is now available in stores and online. But it wasn't all easygoing for this young startup. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or just want to hear a local success story, stay tuned for Season 3, Episode 2 of the Startup Capital Podcast by Cuddlesoft. Production support for Startup Capital comes from WFSU Public Media. Okay, everyone, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 2 of Startup Capital. I have Mike Braccialli and Nick Telford here from Fly Mouthwash.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, of course. It's so exciting. So, welcome. Do you guys want to get started telling me a little story that I feel like a high percentage of our listeners have probably heard, but I just think it sets the tone so well. So I would love to hear the library story. Who wants to tell me?
Sure. I would be happy to. So back in undergrad, I was studying and, really made this product because I've experienced this problem, you know, plenty of times, and I feel other people have as well. So I was studying for a final, you know, spending plenty of hours in the library, and unfortunately, a girl I had my eyes on asked for some help after I had just drank some coffee and, saw a way out of it, saying I had to run home to grab something to help her out, and ran home, used some mouthwash, and on the way back really got to thinking of why isn't there a product that you can take with you wherever you go or be able to mix it, you know, out of the house for mouthwash. So I got to thinking there, met Nick. We both went to the same high school, so once he got up here to go to FSU, we started talking about it, and it kind of, you know, snowballed from there into from an idea to a few people liking the idea to now we have a product on its way.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing that it could all start from that. Like yeah. You said, a rare occasion, not nice, yeah. But I get it.
I think the listeners want to know what happened with the girl. Any romance?
Yeah, tell the people.
Actually, it was girl Jessica, and our buddy ended up dating her, so that worked out.
Oh, perfect!
Just phenomenal.
She scared her right towards him.
Yep.
I wonder if she knows she started a movement. I wonder if she's aware.
Oh, she does.
Yeah. Oh,
I worked with her too in South Florida.
Oh,
so
very
she,
cool.
If she's listening, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica. Yeah, you did this. What? So okay. So you two clearly have quite this rapport. How do you think that the two of you kind of complement each other? Maybe one is more reserved, maybe one would be more the go-getter, sales. I mean, the whole running a business thing, you guys have to really have skills that complement each other. How does that work? How do you guys, like, interact on the day-to-day?
Well, we've known each other for a while, kind of through high school. And then when I came up here, met him even more when we joined the same fraternity, got to know him a little better living with him. But the whole, like, older and younger thing definitely worked to start. I'm 2 years younger than him. And in college, it's kind of a bigger deal through the years.
Right.
Whoever's older, even a year makes a big difference. So when he was a senior, I was a sophomore, he was more of, he kind of knew more just knowledge-wise in general about life. I was just coming into the fraternity, coming into school. He was kind of teaching me the ways, and we got to talking about this. And then from there, our roles kind of just meshed into what it is. It wasn't like we sat down one day and we're like, you're going to do this, I'm going to do this.
Right.
It was like, let's just work. And a lot of times we just work the same way, and then we're like, well, this is taking up too much time. We're both doing the same thing. So we'll get there, and now it was like meshing and splitting work. But it's just we have our own little niches throughout the company, which we're beginning to define ourselves right now.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
You figure it out along the way. I feel like that's kind of the theme for a lot of entrepreneurial stories. You're kind of trial and error through this whole thing. But as far as trials, you guys – have you had a lot of big trials so far? I mean, I know you're not too far into it. It's only been a couple of years mm-hmm. since you really even had the inception for the idea. What has been like? Tell me a story of a time where you were pretty sure that this thing might not happen and you had already kind of invested a lot into it. What got you through that?
Say New Jersey.
Yeah. One of our third partners and I flew to New Jersey to meet with someone that could potentially make it. And went there. Everything seemed great. Had, you know, PowerPoints all printed out for them. Came back, waited about a month and a half, maybe. Mm-hmm. And they kept telling us they'd give us an answer. And they finally went with saying that they were too big of a company to deal with someone this small. So originally, you know,
just
initial...
Just to invent the product.
Exactly.
This was just to make the original product.
Yeah, this is just,
the sort of the first prototype, the bottle.
So we were pretty, I wouldn't say upset, but, you know, pretty down that someone turned us down. But literally that day, I was on the phone with him. I was working down in South Florida. Nick was back up here. And we said, you know what? Get back on the internet, start Googling. And within the day, I think it was, we found someone I don't think could be better for the job in our chemist now, Dr. Ginniger, out of South Florida. And he ended up living, you know, 15 minutes from our house in Boca. So we were able to, over the next year, I could leave work at lunch, go make mouthwash. Nick was up here. I'd mail it to him. And we sort of formulated that way.
Wow.
So 2 hours, really, is when we really didn't think we'd be able to do it.
Yeah.
Wow. It was like 2 hours of sulking, like when he told us that
it
wouldn't
work
out. Yeah. It was like 2 hours.
It. Yeah.
We're sitting around, we're like, we're not going to be able to do this. And then we're like, you know what, let's try to go do this. And it was 2 hours, like, of that feeling. So that was really it.
It's pretty bad feeling.
When I ever thought that, it was never going to happen, honestly.
That's a pretty brief amount of time, you know, comparatively, which is great.
Yeah. That's optimistic.
Thankfully, you didn't have to go for it for very long. But, I mean, some people, it's kind of, hey, someone says no to you. You don't have to wait 2 hours. You say, this was our last shot, man. You know, it's over. A lot of people wouldn't have made that next call. So that really says something about you guys' sort of spirit. Where does the motivation for that kind of thing come from? Is that intrinsic something you've already always had? Or, I mean, to make that next call. I tell you, I wouldn't. 2 hours later, I'd be crying in the shower. How are you guys able to make that next call 2 hours later?
I would say it was a little intrinsic on both of our parts, just kind of being raised throughout sports and athletics and things like that, taught never to give up. So it was more of just like, we're going to make this happen. That mixed with a little bit of like not really having shame. Like when we're like pitching our idea to people. So like the cold calling of like pitching it and just getting rejected or getting quotes for like 30,000 and thinking like we're way over our head and not like caring what people thought about us really helped. Cause like those calls, it's not like they could be rude, but they can be very blunt as in like, how old are you? Like, what are you trying to do? And then you start questioning yourself, like what I actually am I trying to do? So you put that behind like what people think about you, you can just keep going. It makes it a lot easier.
No shame. All right. Let's add that to the checklist.
Yeah, that helps, especially when you're trying to start something like this.
Definitely.
That's great.
And even just like the little victories of when we were starting off, like sharing the idea and people would be like, oh, that's a great idea. Like that got us to the next step. And then from there, you know, some old adults thought it was a great idea. And then we spread, ended up bringing on a partner. And then from there, it kind of just, you know, slowly took off as we built our team and then went to look for funding. I think it's always been, you know, inside of us, like proving that if you put your mind to something, you could do it, especially with, you know, a great partner that works just probably double as hard as I do.
No, that did help a lot at first. People saying like, this is good. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, oh, I like this idea.
Right.
At first. And then like we reached a point where I was like, I don't even care if anyone says they like it anymore.
Yeah.
Like this is going to happen.
This is going to happen.
Yeah.
To people.
Yeah. Like people would be like, oh, I don't know about that. I'd be like, oh, well, it's going to happen.
Oh, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Who was that first big champion? Is there like kind of a story behind that? You told someone who you were really kind of hoping that they loved it and then they did. Someone whose opinion maybe really.
I would say Tracy.
Yeah. The few partners that we brought on, Tracy was our marketing guy. And
is Tracy Priest, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And Nikki, you could tell that's actually a pretty funny story.
Yeah.
About how you met him.
Yeah, we could get – okay. So I was sitting in Strozier Library at FSU, and my roommate was an entrepreneurship major, was in a class, and there was a guest speaker talking about how to bring products to retail and bring products to market. He's a consultant going over different strategies, and I get a text saying, you got to meet this guy. So I pack up my bags and sprint around the corner of Stroh's to the Rovetta business building, probably 150, 200 yards, something like that. So quick sprint.
Your stats.
Yeah. Quick sprint. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't have a stopwatch on me.
It's probably 8 seconds.
No. But so I get up there panting as the class is leaving. I catch him, give him a sample bottle, what we had then, and kind of sold him on the concept. And we're just like, I hope this guy gives us advice. And And went from us having one call being super nervous about like this first call with this adult, like that's like honestly from our point of view, like that's been in the business for a while. And that turned into having a call every few weeks to having a call once a week to now, like he's our friend, partner. Like we talk to him every day. We were just at the FSU game with him. We've been out to dinner. We met his wife. We met his kids. Like he's fully immersed in the company.
Yeah.
Wow.
But selling him and selling someone who's done it before as far as retail products and him accepting it was a great victory for us. Gave us a lot of confidence, definitely moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a 25-year veteran of consumer products industry. Like, this is not, you know, your grandma, who of course is going to say she loves it because she loves you and she'll try your mouthwash. But, I mean, that's really something. That's amazing. As far as building your team, I mean, after that, who came after Tracy? Who was kind of the next big
It had to be Marty.
Yeah, after so Tracy came with me to New Jersey. So that was really like his first baptism into the team was traveling to New Jersey with
baptism
me.
Baptism by fire.
And getting denied together. Yeah, exactly. So
Welcome to it.
After that, a couple months later, we that's when we called the chemist, went in and met with him because he only lived 15 minutes from our house. And as soon as we met with him, you know, his eyes lit up about the idea. He's put out, you know, probably hundreds of products that he licenses out to other companies.
Wow.
Worked for Colgate. So to hear someone with real oral care, you know, experience and kind of a legend in the industry, to say that he loved the idea and loved, you know, our vision for it was pretty, pretty interesting, pretty exciting. So from there, we've been working with him a year almost on perfecting the taste, the feel of the mouthwash.
Yeah.
And he's been great. We're like family with them too. He's got his mom that works for him, Edith. She's great.
And when we met him, he made like he already had the formula made because we sent him a PowerPoint of what we're going over, and he was like, "I love it, love
everything
about it."
This is the chemist.
Yeah, okay. And we were like, "This is like our second validation, basically."
Of course.
So we had the professional like consumer product guy. Now we have a chemist validating the idea. He makes we're like, "Boom, we'll have it to market in a month," and that was probably last
August.
Yeah, last June, I think is when our first formula came out. So now
just
it's October
over a year ago
of this year. We were just talking about that yesterday. It's crazy how. How long it's been. You don't really realize it because you're in the day-to-day.
Nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, and then you look out, like zoom out, and you're like, it's been
a while.
Don't lose the forest for the trees or whatever they say.
Yeah.
It's tough when you're like, you know, cutting down trees is for a living.
Yeah.
You're working on it.
True.
How did you guys find out about this chemist and how did you get in touch with him? And
so that was during that two-hour slump. Mm-hmm. So it was the two-hour denial.
What a great 2 hours. Yeah. Talk about the best 2 hours of your life.
So it was that two-hour denial and then pick up the phone. And I think it was – he was at work, so I was at home during the summer. This is going into my senior year. So I'm just sitting at home and just started dialing away, called 15 to 20 formulators, I guess you could call them, or like different kind of companies. I was just looking up online, and everyone would either be like, too small, like you don't have enough money, or we can't even make this. Like we don't understand. Like we don't want to take this on. And then
they
finally,
were saying you were too small.
Or yeah,
they
like,
were
well,
too small.
Well, they. Well, it was a little bit of both.
Okay.
Because they would be like, all right, well, like what kind of revenue? Like they would be like, have you done other products in the past? And I was like, I don't want to BS this entire thing. Like I have no idea.
Just a little.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the
I just
whole
had
thing.
To do it a little, and then I was like, all right, I can't even get into the details. So finally, he answered probably on the 15th to 20th call, and it was like independent, like. Chemist, and his address actually said New York on his website. I was like, oh, we may need to fly up to New York. And he's like, oh no, I actually live in Delray. And he gave us the address and plugged it in Apple Maps. It was 15 minutes down 95.
Wow.
So we were like, let's go.
Yeah, I think
and
we hopped in the car and that went. Week.
Yeah.
Stars really lined up quickly.
Yeah.
Then. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we knew we had to like build a team before we could go look for money.
Right. I mean, you guys are too. You were in med school.
Yep.
And
grad school.
Yes. But I mean, not
don't give me mouthwash.
Too much credit. Hey, I'll give you credit. And then, I mean, you guys were just students. You're like, I don't know anything about bringing a product to market. Obviously, you had to build a team. So that's
yeah.
That's great.
Things give us a little validation too.
Yeah, and the team's been. You know, great. Since we brought on Tracy to Marty and now our investor, they've been all great for us and helping us along the way.
Right. Speaking of validation, how have you kind of gone about developing the market fit for this product? There's a lot of things in the oral care market. I'm sure you guys are very aware. How have you kind of validated with customers and gotten people on board with the idea of something that they And they think they have everything. They have gum in my bag. You know, why would I need this? What has been the process behind that?
So at first I would say it's trying, like trials, and then educating from there.
Okay.
So to get people to come around to a new idea can be difficult. But when we were showing them, it was like, if you're going to use gum or mints, those are only going to last 15, 20 minutes before you need another gum or mint in your mouth. This is going to last 8 hours. If you're using your regular mouthwash, it's kind of like, all right, well, now I can't bring that with me. And this you can bring with you. So are we competing with Listerine on the counter? Yes. But I wouldn't say completely directly. We're trying to just own portable freshness. We want to own that word. So when you are moving and you leave your house for a 9-to-5 job, you have lunch, you get that bacon onion burger, you know, at Midtown Caboose or something, you come back, are you going to want to talk to your coworkers, give a meeting presentation, be a close interactor without having something on you? And it's like, do you want to look like a cow if you're chewing gum in their face? Or like, do you want to use an ineffective mint? So it's like, if you're out of the house and you need fresh breath, we're trying to own that word portable. This is what you want to use.
Okay. Portable, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
But yeah, I guess piggybacking off of that answer, we saw the mouthwashes that do so well, but it's really a product that was designed for a few hours of use a day, you know, when you wake up in the morning and then come back at night. So we wanted to provide something that would give you that same freshness in a smaller bottle, which we've been able to do. And I think the product education on how to use it and where you can use it and the benefits, like it's TSA friendly, that's just going to be continuing, you know, throughout our marketing pushes. That's what we want to highlight is here's the difference. Here's why it's effective. Here's how you can use it. So we'll continue on that.
Yeah. And I think Mike said like regular mouthwash, I think you can, is like a friend, like a bad friend.
Yeah.
It's not there for you when you need them the most. So like you need a ride home, your car breaks down, you call your bad friend. He's like, oh no, I'm busy.
Watching a movie.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh,
and that's like Listerine. Like, oh, you came back from lunch. A girl's approaching you in the library. Listerine's all the way back at your house.
Yeah.
He's not there for you.
He's not there to be your wingman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we're hoping Fly is there for you. Like a good friend.
Yes. Oh, wait. I love that. That's so fun. I think this is a good time for a quick break. So we're going to take a little halfway pause here and hear from our producer.
The Startup Capital Podcast is brought to you by Cuddlesoft. Cuddlesoft is a creative product development agency with offices in Florida and Colorado. We craft beautifully designed and highly scalable solutions for web, mobile, IoT, and the cloud. Our team builds engaging digital experiences by combining years of software design expertise with empathy. From working on the nation's largest IoT network of weather sensors to transforming the way nonprofits deliver in the cloud, Cuddlesoft is ready to handle your business's toughest challenges. To learn more about Cuddlesoft or to get in touch, visit www.cuddlesoft.com.
All right, and we are back. So validating your product customers, you guys had to do a lot of customer education, like you just said. Do you have advice for anyone who's kind of starting something, maybe in a different market, but a similar challenge?
So as far as like education, I would say talk. I would say talk about
everybody.
It. Yeah.
How many of those customer interviews did you guys do?
So many. For Domi, they have a program called Get Started, and mm-hmm. I think the goal was 100. I'm actually not sure, but I think I definitely talked to 100 people up here about it, whether it be friends, family, and Mike did in South Florida as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest advice would be to talk, because some people have an idea, and they'll be like, oh, I don't want to talk to you about this. Like, oh, can you sign this NDA?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not gonna sign an NDA and then take your idea.
Yeah.
Like, just tell me about it and I'll offer my honest advice and how it could get better. And that's what we did. And our friends and family were great about being honest and truthful, which is hard to tell your friend, I don't like this about your idea. And then it's even harder for us to take that in and then adapt to it without being too cocky to say, oh, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about, or she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Like, we put out some pretty bad, I'd say bad samples to start. And we knew it, but we wanted to get into other people's hands for them to try it. You know, now a year down the road, we know exactly what we're looking for when we're making some taste, flavor. But to start, it was anything that someone could help us with, their opinion, we were asking for. And I, you know, he was up here, so he had a huge market. He'd go to Landis and try it out. I was back in South Florida, so I got to pick a few friends that I worked with in the office, give them a bottle, and like see how they enjoyed using it throughout the 9 to 5. And we were fortunate enough to get some pretty helpful feedback, stuff that we're still thinking, you know, in the future, but also now to adapt and make this the best product that we can before we put it out. But having that year to find an investment and get to this point, it helped us out because we were able to make all those changes throughout those 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a balance between not doing getting too far away from the idea that you originally had that you're so passionate mm-hmm. about. But also, you know, if you love it, but nobody else loves it, no one's going to buy it. Exactly. So it's really smart what you guys did.
We get like why don't you try a breath spray? Like, why don't you make this in a spray bottle? I'm like, well, that's the thing already.
That's the thing. Yeah, why don't I just do what it already,
Exactly. So some feedback's great. Some others, you know, you got to trust your, you know, knowledge and experience. Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a balance.
Yeah.
You mentioned the year you had before you got the seed funding. What was the kind of the story behind the funding? What kind of surprised you about that?
Everything.
Yeah, I would say everything. I would say definitely harder than originally anticipated. And just as far as just the whole process, like first meeting the investor in February.
Yeah, walk me through. I've never, no idea.
You want to start the year before?
Oh, yeah. You could start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, so it was just an idea.
Yeah. So probably 4 months in after we got Tracy, we had just sent over a business plan to this investor, our friend's, good friend's stepdad, and he didn't even respond to the email. You know what? Not a big deal. So we went on, recruited our chemist, worked on the product, and came back to him a year later with a physical product for him to try. And that landed us our first meeting in March.
Mm-hmm. And he's now admitted to that first meeting, just taking it as to mentor and give us some guidance, which I thought it was too. I was like, I don't know if this is really, he's going to take us seriously. And we went there and like laid it all out on the table. And he was like, all right, this is good, but if you guys want to be successful, you need to do this, 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 and this, like 8 things. And we're like, okay, went back, worked on those things, emailed him back saying like, hey, so we've done this, and nothing, no response at all. So we're like, all right, well, I guess that's it. Then try again, email again, nothing. And then it just so happened, he's in the FSU College Business Hall of Fame, and he was getting inducted the same time I had class. So I knew he was showing up for induction, but I actually didn't know until like I was on campus. So I was in like basketball shorts and like a t-shirt. And I was like, oh, I just got to say something. Yeah, right. And everyone else was in suits. And I was like, oh, whatever. Like, I'm just out of place here, but I got to talk to him. And it actually ended up happening. I tracked him. It's just a funny story. But really funny. I tracked him from like 100 yards away. And he was like going one way. And I saw him turn around and go the other, like kind of down the stairs from the second floor. So I had to run and take a different angle, go
you
down the steps
him.
And meet him while he was walking to his class to give the speech. And I was like, I made it seem like a coincidence, obviously.
Hey.
I was like, oh, I'm right here. I was on my way for class. Like, hey, how you doing? He's like, oh, hey, Nick. Like, what's going on? Like, this is crazy. Like, let's talk after class. And we ended up talking after the class and getting our second meeting. And then it wasn't even close to over then. But that was just to get that second meeting. And then it continued from there.
I was living in South Florida. He's in Tallahassee. The investor was in Tampa. So he would plan our meetings for like Tuesday at 8 a.m. So like no chance of being there the weekend before or after. So I'd leave after work at like 7 o'clock, same with Nick. And we actually would meet at almost the exact same time in Tampa at around midnight, get a couple hours of sleep, and then wake up and prep for the meeting. But
on a little L couch.
Yeah.
We were like...
And our buddy's French bulldog.
Like
so.
Tetris on the L-Cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we just wake up at 5, Tetris. Do the meeting, and go back to our separate
So I
ways.
Think that lasted over maybe 4 months. So about 6 meetings over 4 months. We'd keep coming back. He'd have a whole list of things for us to do. We would review, answer any questions that he had, and then there'd be another list for us to go home for the month, come up with it, send it back. And the whole time now he's telling us he was testing us for our timing, seeing what, you know, just how we reacted to different situations. So grateful for the opportunity, but it was definitely a stressful mm-hmm. few months wondering what the actual end goal here was for him.
Yeah, that's something that no one, I mean, when you think about getting funding for your business, I mean, people think of Shark Tank, or, you know, you go in, you say, this is it, bing, bang, boom, you say like 5 minutes and they ask you a couple questions and then you have $1 million.
Yeah, in
that
or
is
out.
Just so not it, the yeah. case in most real cases. That's yeah. what I'm gathering.
Yeah. Not it at all. It took, every time we went in there, I think the last three times we'd be like, all right, he's just going to either say no or yes now. There's no way he's going to come back
no
with
way.
Another set of tasks for us to do. And every time we would leave and be like, come on. Like, this is crazy. Yeah.
And then the last call, he wasn't in Tampa for. So, or I'm sorry, the last meeting, he wasn't in Tampa for. So we're like, oh, this is it. He's in Colorado. He's going to tell us he doesn't want to invest.
He's going
to
deny
the easiest
us.
Thing in
Easier
the world
over
to do.
The phone.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. We're like, oh, man. He didn't want to say it to our face.
Exactly. So that was pretty exciting once we felt that he was interested and we were, you know, really on board with it.
And that was the one from Colorado. He said, I'm in.
Yeah. 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 And looking back a year, you know, just the type of guy he was, we knew him from our friends. So we've had conversations with him, very smart man. That was like our ideal investor. So we were looking for money elsewhere and then kind of came full circle to where we got, you know, the relationship we were looking for out of, you know, meeting with Stuart.
And when you got the okay, what happens after that? Everybody kind of thinks you've got a big, you know, cardboard check.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, have a nice life and let me know when you start making money. What's next?
Yeah. So definitely didn't happen like that. I think it took I think it took like a month and a half just to get legalities right. And we're like, this is such a headache. But yes, we had to do it. We are new to it. And how he actually set it up was not all at once. We're getting in three different tranches mm-hmm. per se. And we got to hit these goals. So it's not like we're just getting handed this and he leaves. And he's like honest about it.
Yeah.
He's like, how are these goals coming? Like, what's going on with this?
Start of a relationship,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you hitting these social media goals? Are you hitting these other goals selling-wise? And, like, for us to get to these certain things, like, he's going to be honest about it, which we appreciate. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, like, little definitely. Fire under us. But he's definitely an active investor, not here's the money and leave. So it's been very beneficial, I think, to
yeah,
hear his wisdom
absolutely.
And everything like that.
That's great. So pivoting a little bit, why you guys had kind of yourself set up for success, being in grad school, being, you know, going to be in the medical field. It's very traditionally profitable and successful and stable. Why would you guys, you know, choose to jump into this 2-year mess? I mean, honestly, what's...
I guess it's all sort of just what you feel inside is for you. And I was going to class, and I did not like it one bit. And then I even quit that and didn't think I was going to do, you know, anything with mouthwash, and then went to a full-time job. And after a year working there, I was like, you know what? This is just the time for me to try and do this. You know, we've had the idea for a few years now, piggybacking off, like, liquid water enhancers, and no one's come up with it yet. You know, every day I walk into a CVS, I'm expecting to see something similar. And it hasn't been there yet. So I guess all the validation throughout that time I was working in grad school mixed with this, you know, we weren't really looking for something stable. We kind of like the excitement of going out on our own and trying something new and leading our now team into that, you know, uncharted waters, I think is the most exciting part for me.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely wasn't easy, though. Like it was going into senior year for me.
Mm-hmm.
So senior year is like, classes get a little easier towards the end. All my friends are now hanging out more. People are looking for jobs. So I was like, all right, I'm just not going to look for a job. And I know that's like really risky. That's what I was telling him. But I can't like honestly talk to recruiters like and be like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
It felt weird. I did one and I ended up just telling him about the idea and doing that. And he was like, yeah, I don't think this is for you, obviously. And I was like, yeah, so I'm just going to kind of burn the boats, kind of what we said. Didn't
That's
go after a job yet. But then all my friends, they got the jobs. Then they're like relaxing, like during
You're
the
panting.
Day, during the night. I'm up in my room, headphones in, doing research on mouthwash. And that's when I was thinking, like, what am I doing? Like, everyone's got a job. People are moving over the country. And now they're all relaxing here. They're going out. They're watching movies. And I'm up in my room just typing away,
this
not knowing,
senior year,
not knowing if there's a means to an end. Here. So it's definitely difficult and even lonely at some times in that, but it was all worth it, honestly. It was kind of just intrinsically knew there was something there and kept working at it.
And now both of us being together for the first time in 2 years, you know, doing everything else through email and on the phone, like now we're together.
Yeah.
I think we've kind of accelerated our, at least our drive.
What's the future hold? What are some goals, personal goals, company goals?
We did set a goal with our investor of maybe Inc. 500 or something in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Just to shoot for the stars and see where we fall. But I think we can definitely go after that.
Anything to drive the team towards one goal and really like raise the bar to where you're putting in your full effort to do your part in the team. I think that's really our biggest goal, is to just continue to push each other in a positive way. And we've seen the success so far. So I think we're sticking to the game plan for now. And, you know, now that we have a physical product to sell and we're not just selling an idea like we have been for the past 2 years, we think we should see some growth here pretty soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty exciting.
I'd love to do this podcast in like a year.
Yeah.
When we're actually
revisiting.
We'll have you come
stuff.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I would love to.
Most important question, what's the best flavor?
Wow, go ahead.
So we only have two right now. We're only putting out one to start. I like them both. One's winter fresh, so it's pretty
classic.
Classic.
That's good.
And then the other one is, we're calling it passion mint. It's a few different flavors, but it's got a fruity mint taste to it.
Okay.
Not too crazy. It just takes the little edge off the peppermint, so I like it.
Yeah. I love the passion mint. I love the winter fresh. We're coming out with the winter fresh first, testing one flavor.
Smart.
Seeing how it goes, seeing if people accept, and then we're going to bring in the next one after that.
Yeah.
I think passion mint is definitely Mike's favorite, personally. I think I'm more on the winter fresh side. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's great.
We'll have to measure them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to try it? We brought some for you.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Of course. Get over here. I have a little bottle of water.
Dang, we should have brought
you. Oh, I need somewhere to spit.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
We can do it off the...
Off we'll air. Do it off the air. Yeah. I don't know how that'll translate anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I don't think that makes for good.
But I really do. I was about to say I want to try. Okay, great. All right, Mike, Nick, thank you for coming in. You heard it here first. Fly mouthwash.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Nick Farrell here with an update on Fly Mouthwash's progress since this episode was recorded in October 2017. Mike and Nick completed their first manufacturing run successfully last year. Since then, they've sold over 1,200 bottles of Fly Mouthwash. The product is now available in stores around Tallahassee and online on Amazon.com. Visit flymouthwash.com or find them on Facebook to learn how you can kiss your bad breath goodbye. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time for Season 3, Episode 3 of Startup Capital. This podcast is recorded and produced in the Startup Capital, Tallahassee, Florida.